Let's head to Washington, D.C., and Congressman Bill Flores joins us. Good morning, Congressman. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Scott. Happy first full day of summer.
There you go. When it drops off the front pages or the lead stories in electronic media, sometimes we don't hear any more about it. What can you tell us about Congressman Scalise's situation right now?
He is doing remarkably well, given the severity of the wounds that he had last week. He has been upgraded from critical to serious and now to stable. He was intubated before. They removed that late this weekend. He had another major surgery this weekend, and he is stable enough that he's not going to have any for a while. He's gotten good reports from all of his doctors, particularly his orthopedist. So within the next few days, he will be moving into rehab stage. I mean, before it was trying to save his life, and now it's about getting him back on his feet and getting him back into normally functioning condition again. So our prayers have been answered thus far, and hopefully they'll continue to be answered moving forward. You know, we had a big blood drive here on campus yesterday, and Vice President Pence came by and donated blood, and we'll have another one tomorrow. I'll be going by to do that tomorrow.
How is the life of a congressman or a member of Congress going to change now because of that in your everyday activities?
Well, we started upgrading our security protocols in as we watched the violence that happened on Inauguration Day, and then the degrading coarseness of the rhetoric coming from the left over the last several weeks. And so we have law enforcement at every event that we have now, including meetings in our offices in the district. We'll have law enforcement there. I'm usually armed myself, but I'll give you an example. For instance, this weekend I had a veterans event up in a small town up in the northern part of the district, and the law enforcement felt like it was appropriate to wand everybody that came in for weapons. So it's a shame it's got to that, but I think given the radicalization of this person from the some of the rhetoric that's out there today, that it's probably appropriate to be safe rather than sorry.
Well, it's certainly the idea of a congressman is that you will see your member of Congress in certain places in public. It is just part of what that office is, as opposed to a senator or a governor or something like that.
Right, right. And so, I mean, it's a shame, but like when I go to the hardware store now, I'm usually armed just to make sure that, you know, there's somebody in there that sees me, recognizes me, that somehow gotten radicalized by some of the things that they've seen, that we've at least got a chance to protect the folks that are around me and my family and myself.
Sure. Congressman Bill Flores joining us from Washington, D.C. All right, legislatively, what has gone on in the House this week, or what do we have coming up for early next week?
Well, two big things this week. One is the Accelerating Individuals in the Workforce Act, and that helps connect Americans looking for work with employers that are looking to fill job openings, including through apprenticeships and other forms of on-the-job training. And this meshes up really well with the president's apprenticeship initiative that he rolled out in the last few days. And then the second more important bill is let me continue on this one, and also incentivizes employer partnerships with state and local agencies to hire recipients from the TANF program, the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. In other words, what we're trying to do is continue the efforts to move people from welfare to paychecks. So that's the big issue, the big bill on the floor this week. Next week, we're going to take up a bill that got delayed last week because of the shootings. And that has to do with medical malpractice reform. And so that's part of our healthcare reform agenda. So that'll be coming up next week.
You know, there are 435 seats in Congress, and it has seemed that everyone has thought that these congressional races would be a litmus test for the Trump presidency. And this is a president who gives you heartburn, I understand, with some of the things that happened there. But it was Kansas and Montana. Now it's South Carolina. Now it's Georgia that... basically, if you will, Trump is 4-0 in these special elections. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, he is, isn't he? You know, one of his surrogates said something about how the media has made these a referendum on the Trump agenda. And she went on, as Kellyanne Conway as it was, and said, yep, you're right, and hashtag winning. Well, he's right. You know, in particular, this Georgia race, though, is interesting. And so my takeaways from this are, and really two of them. One is the voters continue to reject the leftist agenda, even when you wrap it into a deceivingly centrist message, and then you have a $32 million spend behind it, which was $13 million more than the Republican spend. And the other thing is the American people are rejecting Nancy Pelosi and her surrogates. That just continues to happen. And, you know, it's like, you know, you and I have talked in the past. Joe Scarborough basically said the Democrats need to figure out, you know, which direction they're going to go with the country because the voters are rejecting it.
Yeah, he's just a loss is a loss. Moral victories are not worth anything. It appears that tomorrow the GOP senators will roll out their answer to the Health Care Act. What have you heard about this prior to the rollout?
Well, very, very little. I talked to some of my Senate colleagues yesterday afternoon. And they're the ones that are in the room are pretty tight-lipped about it. The ones that are not in the room don't know. This is Bill Flores' guess, and that is that it's going to look a lot like the House package, except that it may have some modifications to the Medicaid reforms so that those reforms are less aggressive than what we did in the House and also take longer to implement. But it's really interesting. It's like when I was talking to one of my Senate colleagues last night, I said, I knew when we sent our box over there, you're going to open up and say, hey, we don't like this piece, let's pull it out. But then when you pull it out, you see that you leave a big hole. And so you try to stick something else in it, and it won't fit. And so he kind of laughed and said, yeah, you're right, that's what we found. And so it's a really fine balancing act to be able to make sure that you provide coverage, but you're fiscally responsible. And you also, most importantly, allow families choice in their health care.
Well, part of the problem is this is an entitlement now. People are to the point where they expect to have it. It should be there. Why are you going to change my world?
Well, first of all, an entitlement to an insurance card is not an entitlement to health care. And so we've already seen that. When you look at the number of counties where you're not going to have any insurance provider at all, and that's because of the failed way in which Obamacare was built. And so an entitlement that doesn't give you anything is not of any value. So that needs to be fixed. The other thing is you've got to make it fiscally responsible. And another thing, instead of making an entitlement, why don't you do it something that empowers consumers and empowers families to have choice over their health care rather than some sort of a government design plan? And that's what we're trying to do.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time again this morning.
Great talking to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for Steve Scalise and for our military and our first responders.
Certainly. Thanks.